next interview is with Jean and Bert Ishii on Wednesday, July the 5th, 2000.
Challenged. If I just, I'm trying to get it here. But St. Andrews was being proposed, and there was a rather extensive effort, so far as I recall, to get that college started. And but Terry, I think, all along felt that that we needed the college. We needed a college. In fact, it was not to compete with the other college. But he just felt that we should have it in Fayetteville, and said so. And certain people began to think about it, work on it. And Dr. Weaver was employed as the president. And they took it from there. And it was really very exciting to see how fast all these activities moved and how quickly they were ready to do something.
Now, Dr. Ishii was, of course, president of the Foundation of the College Open. Do you remember much about fundraising, organization fundraising for Kenneth Sanford to start that?
You know, I don't, but I bet Brent could tell us. So before you get away from here, I'll catch up with him and ask him to come back and give you that information. Because I don't remember. All that I recall was that St. Andrews was going to be formed, and it was Terry who said that we also needed a college, Methodist College in Fayetteville. I don't know if anyone had given this idea a thought before. Dr. Burns, you know, was there at that time. I think he was there then. He came there just to help get things going at the college. And he, by the way, lived next door. He and Mrs. Burns lived next door to us. But it was wonderful for us to be near them. And Bert had known Dr. Burns in association with in Washington, because Bert had been on that board, one of the boards. And so it was wonderful having them, as I know that we enjoyed having them. So Mrs. Burns was so active in the women's organization at the college, and I think there were only about five or six spouses who were able to join that organization, just a very few of them, because there were so few faculty members, you know.
What did they do? I remember hearing about the Women's Association. What did they do?
Well, they had various activities to promote the college. I think more than anything else, it was just a social organization to get those women together. And I believe there were only about five or six of them to start with. There was Mrs. Hepburn. I don't know if I can call the other names or not. Do you remember? You don't remember.
I think
Mrs. Weaver, yeah. And Mrs. Burns. I'm not sure I can come up with any other names now, because I haven't really thought about it in a long time. But,
did you watch the college as it's being
Yes. Of course, the classroom building was built first, and everything that took place in the classroom building, because that was it to start with. And so they taught the classes there, and there's some faculty offices. Well, a faculty office, of course, for every person. I don't remember too much about those details. The science building came next. They had to have the science building because of the lab. They couldn't offer the science courses without having the labs. And so that one came along very shortly. It probably was being built very close to the same time as the other building.
When did you start at that
business? I was there the first year teaching. I believe I had 5 piano students. And we had, the college had an upright piano, which someone had given. And the only place to put that piano was in the science auditorium. So I taught those piano lessons in the science auditorium, and I know there were many instances when the faculty members thought they'd scream if they had to hear that piano any longer. It was not that we had that many students. I think only 5 part-time students. And one of those was Roy Roach. Do you know Roy Roach? No. He has a band which he directs, and he works at the furniture store out on the Yankton Road, the beautiful furniture store.
Oh, Smith
Bar. Smith Bar. Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess Roy still works. But he was among those first students, and was just part-time. Yeah.
Sam Womack said he thought he might have even taught some lessons at home.
I don't think so.
Because
yeah, there was a piano. It was a little upright piano. I believe a relatively new one, or even new one. I'm not sure which, but it was a small piano. And I had about 5 students or something like that, and I always felt that we were driving the faculty that was in the science building crazy with that piano going. Where were you going to teach otherwise?
In those days, there were a lot of makeshift things.
Yeah.
Details, too, about getting a pump organ from the little room downstairs that was the curriculum lab, the one that they used for chapel, that he had gotten from a friend. It's an old pump organ.
We had a big old organ that was placed on the second floor of one of the small buildings over by, I don't know what you call it, you know, there were about 2 dormitories for a faculty person, and they had to put that big old electronic organ, which someone gave us. In the had to take it up those narrow steps to the second floor, and that's where that organ was placed, and some classes were held in that building too. I believe there were 2 of those buildings that went up about the same time. You know of what place I'm speaking of, right? On the other side of the
the part. Faculty
departments. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, that they did put that old organ that somebody gave us. They got it up the steps some way and put it on the second floor. And and I know the people who were in that building, and especially those who were working in that building, wanted to scream because the sound transmission was so awful in that building. Still is, probably. You know, you can just hear sounds throughout the building. So that was a bad place to put that piano, but there was nowhere else to put it.
When was the first chorus called? Do you remember
who directed the first chorus? Dr. Gates? Or? Yes, it was Dr. Gates. It surely was, because he was the only full-time faculty person at first, and then I was just part-time, and then of course Alan came along eventually. I think perhaps when by the time Alan came, they had to offer him full time in order for him to come. And I don't recall about Elaine, whether she was pregnant at that time and did not teach for a while. I'm not sure about that. But she can tell you. I know if you need a bit of information. But it was an interesting time in my life. Very interesting time.
You got in the forest, you did the science auditorium tour.
See. You know, I think to start with, that chorus, as small as it was to begin with, I think they met in one of those little buildings over there, possibly the same one. Yeah. Alan had said that about that. I hope Alan didn't come until maybe the third year, is that right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I believe Dr. Gates and I were the music department. I think. I shouldn't say tell you these things if I'm in error. Like, but there are things I haven't thought about in such a long time.
The next one I remember after Dr. Gates was John Ryder.
Yeah.
Or Mike Rogers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, he didn't stay very long. Large man. I remember him very well. I suppose he was full-time. Mm-hmm.
Now you taught organ too. What else did you teach?
I taught piano in the auditorium, as I mentioned, in the science auditorium, driving everybody crazy. Linda Schaefer was my first organ student, and I believe that she was there first year. You can check on that and see if she was. Or when she registered, but I believe she was there the first year. And then we had Beverly's former husband. When Beverly and her family came, you know who I'm speaking of, Elaine's sister.
Oh, Gordon Dixon.
Gordon. Uh-huh. Whether he was there the first year, I don't know, but there weren't many of us, believe me. And I believe I taught at least 3 years part-time before they were able to put me on. But Dr. and Mrs. Burns gave us the organ in the chapel, and we were then able to have the organ lessons in that spot on the little pipe organ, which was really wonderful places. It was quite a lot different than that little pipe organ and that big old electronic organ that somebody had discarded and given to us.
And you taught music appreciation too.
I may have. I don't know.
I think I took music.
You do?
I know that I took the course that all the elementary school teachers
yes.
had to take.
Yes.
To teach music
in the elementary schools. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You talk about driving somebody crazy. You kind of learned to play a song with two hands. And I used to go to that old piano in Weaver Hall, and it was Oh Susanna. And I, over and over, you know, at night, and they see me, and here she comes again. So I could play it smoothly for these two
hands. Oh, my, and that was tough, honestly. It was very hard. It's very hard to do that if you haven't played before.
That was a fun course.
Was it? Well, I'm glad
you made it fun.
Say that.
Well, you became head of the music department?
Yes. Let's see. When did Dr. Gates come? About the 30th? So I was it anyway until he came and came with his PhD, you know. And of course he is now head of the department, which he should have been. But I believe it was about the 30th he came. That would be in the record.
And then you became head of the music department again.
Yes, later.
What happened during those early years with Southern Association of Accreditation? That they required some changes in organization?
I don't know, Lynn. I don't know what to tell you about that. I know that the Southern Association was very much involved in the beginning of the college, and of course has been over the years, I'm sure. But I don't remember much about that. I think Dr. Gates handled those declares, at least when he got them. Honestly, I can't remember if he was there the first year. Do you, do you recall?
I don't think he was.
I believe it.
Let's
see.
I'll have to look at some of the things, but I don't.
I believe not. But of course, when he came, he had his PhD. And that was a great boon for us and necessary for the college to have, for him to have those credentials. And then along came Alan a little later, and then Mike Rogers. In that order, I think.
The music department really grew today.
It did. It did.
So many of the students in Cumberland County are graduates of Memphis.
Yeah, that's right. They certainly are.
Kyle Bryant and Miss Eddie Newman.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them. And some of those were students who wouldn't have gone to college because the dormitory fees have always been pretty high, you know, and so the fact that we were there meant that a lot of these people were able to get music free, so wouldn't have done it, wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise.
There has to be a closeness, but all
that's true. That's true. When I recall that big old organ that they had to put upstairs, for the few people who were studying organ, and Linda Schaefer was one of those, and she has been playing ever since.
She's teaching out there now.
She started teaching a good while back. But she has such a fine instrument to play at Slider. It's a lovely instrument, and she does a beautiful job. I'm very proud of, proud that we can call her ours, because she does, that's a big, big responsibility that she has. And I suppose it's the largest major church in town. There may be other smaller denominational churches in the area. I don't know about that, but. Oh, this is a lovely organ that she plays. It's just lovely. And she does a good job. We've heard her play several times in recent weeks for various services, including the mayor's service. That church was so packed. I just never realized that so many people in that church. They were just searching for any little spot where they might put somebody in the seat. It was really amazing. But I was so glad I could be there and hear what a wonderful job Linda did, because she did a magnificent job. But she had... yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, they, yeah, they did. They really did. And they're so fortunate at Snyder to have those two well-qualified young ladies. They both did a very good job. Jo is a wonderful musician. And she's, of course, pretty active in the college.
Isn't
she?
Is it?
Oh, good. Oh, yes, that's right. I'm looking forward to that.
Are there any concerts that stand out in the
Well, let's see, I'd have to think about that a bit. We had a lot of talented people, some of them older than the normal college age. Almost all of them had been outstanding. Do you remember Terry Akamatsu? I guess you do. She is such a fan. But we had a lot of very, very good musicians who came in, and possibly some of that is due to the fact that faculty members were not so busy that they could not give special attention to these students. It was so important to us to try to train the few students that we had and train them well. And we developed a special bondage between teacher and student because we knew each other so well, and we were important to each other. We were not only important to the students, but the students to us were very important in our lives. So that special bondage was unusual. Small in number.
How have you seen the college change? What changes that you've seen at the college?
Well, like the change has been enormous. And of course, we saw it all along the way. Bert and I did. And I don't know if you recall that we just lived on the other side of the president's home. And I walked through the woods there from the president's home to the college most of the time. I could walk over there unless Tam didn't for me to drive out on the
field.
And it was kind of a field there for a long time. But it certainly was wonderful to see it grow over the years and become what it is. Because it's a fine school. It's really a wonderful school.
What do you think the Methodist has given you what benefits has it given?
Well, first of all, just having the building available for concerts has meant so much. Where in the world would you have the opportunity to put these wonderful musical organizations in all of their glory, except in a wonderful auditorium like that, which we have. it just has meant everything to this community. And yet when I think of the actions of a school like St. Andrew's in a small community, which has not been able to compete number-wise in any way possible, I suppose St. Andrew's just has a few hundred students still. Is that true? Do you know about that?
They're struggling with
enrollment. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we have been so fortunate that, for so many reasons, to have our college grow and to offer all that it offers. Because it's a lot. Quite a lot. Well, you're priming the pump pretty well. I don't know. I mean, of course, you know, there are many things that I am and proud to see happening. It's just so wonderful. When we have had various concerts at the college and the people here at the Heritage Place have been invited to go, they take one of the buses. And I'm always so proud to drive up next to the auditorium and get out and go in with these people. And I believe that almost all of the things that are taking place over there are open to the public. Isn't that true? That's just marvelous. But they have taken the bus from here, and we have pretty well filled it with Heritage Place people, and it's been such a reward for them, and they have loved being able to attend this Catholic concert.
And what a change in the way the campus looks.
Oh yeah. Oh my. It really has developed so well. There was a lot of good planning that went into it. Not only the buildings, but the grounds and all of the things that are going there. Library facilities and new buildings. And it continues to grow, and it still has space to grow, doesn't it? Yeah, and when I noticed that they're going on down the hill by
the new residence hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, the apartments.
Well, I just couldn't ever imagine that they would be able to put the building in there, because that slope is rather steep. But they got it in there, and it looks very nice, and it's very functional. I don't believe there are any real disadvantages to the location. Are they? In the new dorm?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is there space for other dorms down that slope?
Uh-huh. Isn't that a nice problem to have?
Yes, it is.
Oh,
wonderful. That's wonderful. It really is. How many students do we have?
We have, I think, about 19.
Uh-huh.
They're over
And they are, what is the use which they have for the little buildings that were originally facing the Raleigh Road?
Those are all small. What used to be factory, what was the original dorms, and then factory apartments are now called honors hall apartments.
Are they?
They have to have a certain way to come out, which is so on.
Do they have families in those?
Well, they don't know.
Uh-huh.
They used to. Maybe it's families.
Uh-huh. It's rather amazing that they could have moved those brick buildings. But they did. They were rather well intact when they arrived in the new location. It's amazing.
What the old Dean Students Hall, where Harlem Poet used to live.
Uh-huh.
Remember when he used to walk up and down Ramsey Street with his bagpipe? Charles the Kent.
Yeah.
And then,
not Easton, but was it the I don't think I can say his name either, but I can almost see him. He was in the business department, wasn't he?
I'll have to ask Marvin Pope.
Yeah. But it certainly was fun to hear him walking about on the campus with the bagpipes.
That was never one of your concerts, was in any of your concerts.
No. Oh, but it was so special to hear him playing those bagpipes as he roamed around in various places on the campus.
The music department's been such a wonderful help to other departments, too.
Has it?
I think about how Stu Kimball used the music department in the Southern Writers Symposium.
Yes.
Southern music.
Yes.
And that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes joined with the drama department, you think, or Brigadoon,
or yes. I think so. Yeah. I'll be able to think of a dozen things when you leave, probably. I'll just call you up, but if I think of something that you might want to use. Well, I don't know that it has, but I appreciate your coming so much, and it's kind of fun for me to reminisce in this way. You have reminded me of some things that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise.
I think Sue Kimball is going to write
it. Is she? Oh, that's great. That's just wonderful.
Oh. She wasn't there in those early years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What year did she come? Do you remember?
After I lived there.
I believe they were friends, it seems to me. I've forgotten them. But I think so. What year did Lynn come? Do you know approximately?
Yes, before I came, I want to say 1983 or 1984,
maybe. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
I think she was.
So
yes. Uh-huh. Well, she and her husband are really just traveling the world.
Yeah.
They're just traveling constantly.
On the world trips.
Yeah.
And you've been under three different presidents, too. What were their personalities like? How were they like?
Well, okay, let's see. We've got Dr. Weaver and Dr. Pierce and Dr. Hendricks. Well, I felt that Dr. Weaver was truly a dedicated professor. There's just no doubt about that. As you well know, he was not hail fellow well met kind of person, but he certainly had strength and unique understanding of what a college should be like. And I think we've been fortunate to have had the people at the helm that we've had, and because they made outstanding contributions. I will probably think of a half dozen things after you leave, and I'll call you if I think of something significant that you might want to use. Now, what would you do with this information?
Well,